Bear one another's burdens. At times we might understand this to be, as was read for us in Matthew's gospel, the caring for those who are lacking, those who are going without, those who are troubled or burdened by the cares of life. And this is true. This is one way that we are called to bear one another's burdens. Brennan Manning tells a story of two friends who were at a bar together. Not a practice I will condone or encourage or discourage in this context, but this is where they were, the story goes. And they were well into the evening together, these two friends, expressing how close of friends they were, how much they cared for each other, how important and special their friendship was. When one friend then stopped and asked the other, "Tell me what hurts me." And the friend replied, "Well, I'm not fully sure what hurts you." To which the first friend said, "Then how can you say that you care for me?" What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? Part of it is knowing each other well enough to be able to bear the burdens that each one carries. What made and makes Jesus the greatest lover, carer of our souls is that he knows what hurts us. He knows what hurts his people. And he has done everything in his power to meet us in our pain. Whether that be pain caused by a broken world or pain which in a broken world and being broken beings we have brought upon ourselves with our own sin and trespasses. But Jesus knows our pain, and he has done everything possible to meet us in it. I've noted this before. It's one of the great truths I love about Jesus displayed and found within the Gospels, is that Jesus is often noted, stated, shown, described as looking at people with love or compassion. When Jesus looks at someone, he sees them. You know the story of the irreputable woman who came to anoint Jesus, washing his feet with her tears, and the onlookers in that meeting in that house were appalled, saying to themselves, if Jesus knew what kind of woman this was who was touching him, if Jesus was aware, if Jesus had insight as to this woman's past, he would not be letting her touch his feet. I think part of the context or the understanding in that situation was that this woman is not like us. She's not as good as clean as appropriate as us. Another account within the Gospels that comes to mind is the two men who went up into the temple to pray, one a publican and the other a sinner. And one of them thanked God that he was not like the other in the midst of his prayer. "I thank you that I'm not like this sinner over here." This publican read his Bible regularly, we can presume, or heard it read, was often in church or synagogue. He kept the commandments, he did what was right, he lived a moral and good life, unlike this other person. That woman's not like us, that man is not like us. Why would Jesus let someone like her touch him? Why would a man like that come in and approach God to pray? If you recall Jesus' response to these situations with the comments or the thoughts about this woman, it was asked to those who were feeling this way, "Do you not see her?" Jesus saw her. A human being created in the image of God, broken and marred, but loved by a God whose grace is immense. And the sinner who had gone up into the temple to pray left justified because he brought himself honestly and openly before God. Do we see people as people for whom God longs and loves? Or do we see them for their missteps and their mistakes? Jesus looked at this woman and loved her. Jesus looked at the sinner and loved him. Jesus looked at the leper and loved him. Jesus saw the crowds in Matthew's gospel harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd and loved them. Jesus saw the crowds hungry, destitute, and loved them. Jesus saw the children being children and loved them. Jesus, following Peter's denial of ever knowing him, three times Peter denied knowing the Lord. And we have this wonderful account that in that moment of denial, Jesus looked at Peter. And we can assume loved him. Jesus looked at the woman caught in the act of adultery and loved her. And he invited her accusers to do the same. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Do we know what hurts each other? Do we know the struggles and the pains deep inside each other's heart? Do we know the abuses that each has suffered? The silent pain, the ongoing addiction, the loneliness, the trespass, the trials, the temptations, the battles with doubt and fear. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. As Christ acted in love, compassion for each, we are called to do the same. I'm encouraged and challenged by the words of Paul to the church at Colossae. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, Jesus has looked at my life, at your life, with all of our imperfections, with all of our brokenness, with all of the things that this world has done to us and all of the things that we have done to ourselves. And he offers forgiveness and grace. He looks at us and loves us. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body. The end of the passage in Galatians that was read for us, we're encouraged to care and to share in each other's burdens, especially within the family of faith. We are one body, many members, but one body. And we need to be mindful of each other. Paul continues, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As Christ has loved us, as Christ has looked at us with compassion and mercy and bore the burden of our lives, individually, corporately, so we are to do the same for each other. As God has forgiven us, so we are to forgive. I think of the hymn, God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. My dear friends, Galatians chapter 6, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Specifically here in this context, the bearing of the burden that we are called to bear, to share, to lift, is that of another's transgression. Do you know a brother or sister who is struggling with a sin? Do you know a brother or sister caught in a lifestyle which is pulling them away from the Lord rather than drawing them into the heart of God? You who have the Spirit, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit which we have received. In Galatians chapter 5, just the previous chapter, we have Paul describing to us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those of you who have received the Spirit, those of you who have the Spirit, restore those who have been found to be walking in darkness. I recall several years ago going for a walk with a man I had just met. It was in Alberta. I can't remember even what city I was in, but it was a gentleman I had met at a common conference that we were at, and we had gone for a walk together. And he shared of a season in his own life when he was walking in darkness, when he was living in trespass or sin, and no one for a long time approached him about it. And the darkness grew darker, the sin grew greater. And he shared of finally when a brother in the Lord confronted him in gentleness and in love and bore with him the burden of his trespass and brought him back into fellowship with the Lord, walking after the Spirit himself. And he gave me the encouragement to guard my own heart and my own life when it comes to the temptations and the trespasses which might enter into, but also to bear the burden of the brothers and sisters I've been called to serve in this way. This is in part how we love one another. 1 John 4 gives us the wonderful encouragement and the challenge to love one another as God in Christ has loved us, that we also ought to love one another. And John puts it quite directly, if we say that we love God but do not love our brothers and sisters, then the truth is not in us. We are liars. How do we love our brothers and sisters? How do we bear the burden of the other when it comes, as Paul's teaching here in Galatians, to a trespass or a sin, an error? We worry. They might not take it well. What if they don't talk to me again? It might cause a divide or dissension if I bring it up. Here's one encouragement, an admonishment which Paul gives to guard against this happening in the passage that was read for us, Galatians 6, verse 3. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. Those of us who have the Spirit and go to approach, to correct and encourage a brother or sister, recognize that the grace we have in our lives, the Spirit in which we walk, is a gift from God himself. We need to understand why it is that we are walking in the Spirit. It is because of the grace of God in our lives. hear the words of Paul as a testimony about your own life, my own life. Wretched person that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here again, the words of Paul to the church at Colossae, speaking about all of us. You were dead through your trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh. And Paul is calling here in Galatians, those of you who have found your footing in the Spirit, those of you who by the grace of God have found your place in walking after the Spirit, those of you in whom the Spirit has taken a greater control over your flesh, watch out for your sisters and your brothers. Minister unto them as they learn to walk according to the Spirit as opposed to the flesh. Recognize the grace that has been at work in your own life to bring you to the spot and to this place that you're at. When we go to prayer for one another, when we think of a sister or a brother who is struggling, let us not be tempted to say, God, I thank you that I am not like them. But to recognize the grace that has been at work in our lives and to pray, Lord, might you restore them. Lord, might you fill them again with your Spirit. Lord, might you call them again to chase after your Spirit. When we go to pray and think of a brother and sister who is struggling, let us thank God for the grace at work in our own lives and the gift of the Spirit. And thank God for rescuing us and pray that he would use us in bringing them to him. Another hymn that comes to mind. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Might we recognize that we have no stones to cast, for we know our own past. A past for which we have been forgiven, redeemed, released. Now I come to you with the love of Christ in my heart, with eyes filled with compassion to see you, with the gentleness of the very Spirit of God as my guide. I see you, my sister, my brother, and extend the grace of Christ to say that as Christ, though he had the authority to do so, chose not to condemn me, nor do I come to condemn you. Rather, I invite you, join me in the pursuit of the Spirit. Turn, confess, repent. Walk no longer after the flesh, but rather in the Spirit of God. Sow no longer to the flesh, which only reaps corruption, but sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not waste this gift of God in Christ. Let us not neglect the gift of God's love poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I think of the words recorded in the book of Hebrews. The encouragement to look at those who had run well the race. Let us who by the grace of God are running the race well be an encouragement to others, to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run with the perseverance of race that is set before us. Might we encourage each other to run. Might we bear the burden with each other of a broken world in broken lives and challenge and admonish each other to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. The words of Paul that were read for us, let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Again, from Hebrews 12, let us look to Jesus in this work, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself for sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Let us see each other. And perhaps the burden we need to bear for one another is a practical need of food, finance, companionship, friendship, clothing, visitation, or perhaps it's a challenge in helping one come out of the weight of trespass and sin. But let us not grow weary in fulfilling the law of Christ in our midst to do that which is right, in loving God and loving one another. Let us not grow weary in running the race that is set before us, to the praise of our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer and our friend, who continues to look at us and love us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.